Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind. Okay, well, there we go. My homage to the Isley Brothers, or Type O Negative, if you're a little bit more into doom gothic black metal. They did a really good cover of the Isley Brothers classic, but that's with the summer now upon us. And with a big warm welcome to episode 13 of the Rap Podcast, Series 2. Been kicking this out since January, and this is the 13th episode since January. So thanks very much indeed for showing up for this particular cast. And let's get into it. It's been a funny old couple of weeks since my last cast, which was all about the Grand National. I think it's sort of pretty safe to come out of hibernation now. I swore I wouldn't get into flame wars online with all the antis and all the negative people that were coming out the woodwork decrying the Grand National. I got it in the neck from both sides. I thought the National should be quietly done away with. Nobody enjoys it. The antis really got on my tits, more than somewhat, with their ill-founded, ill-thought-out diatribes against the sport. And it's a tough gig being me and running this podcast and having an online presence. You know, I'm one minute I'm having Gary Lineker around for catchy whatnotteries and brioche, and the next minute I'm supposedly machine-gunning Tommy Robinson's latest statement in Braille into the walls of the New Statesman. I'm sort of left-wing to some, I'm right-wing to others, and I get it in the neck from both sides. So let's walk quietly away now from the National Hunt season, albeit that there is action as I put this podcast out there at Punchestown. Good quality stuff. Marine Nationale has done its stuff over Île-et-Temps. But no, we must not go down that particular route because it's the summer. And the 2,000 and 1,000 guineas are upon us shortly. And I'm so looking forward to getting into the flat for the next 6-7 months or so. It's going to be fun. It always is. And it started off pretty excitingly. There's been some really good trials for the guineas. We've seen some interesting two-year-olds out already. And we've seen some interesting trials already, albeit early days yet, for the Derby and the Oaks. So, there's lots of good quality flat horses doing their stuff. Yeah, it whets the appetite good and proper for the new flat season. This cast is one of two. I'm going to be looking at the 2,000 and 1,000 guineas. We don't know what the final declarations are going to be. This is going out on Tuesday evening. But we can have a little bit of a gander at potential runners and riders. And I'll do a cast probably on Friday, looking at final declarations and certainly the wider card for Saturday, where I hope to be going. And they're putting on 9 races, which is going to be brilliant. And maybe have a quick look at Sunday's card as well. But today is going to be a look at the 2,000 and the 1,000 guineas in a little bit more depth. I want to try and get across the notion of something different, a different angle to your punting. Betting on racing and betting on sports events is a negative expectation experience. What do I mean by that? Well, if you're an investor in the stock market, the more people that are of your mind, the more people that buy the stock, the more valuable it becomes, the higher the price, and the more money you're going to make. So, you know, the bigger the crowd, the more the profit you're going to get. That is entirely the opposite with horse racing, in my case here, sports betting in the wider world in general. Because obviously, you know, the more people there are on a particular horse, the more the price is going to collapse, the less the payback if that horse wins. Why am I making this distinction? Well, because you have therefore, as a clued up savvy punter, got to come up with different angles into a race that you're potentially having a bet on. With that in mind, let's get into the guts of what today is all about. And that is to try and give you a different insight into the two big classics this weekend, the 2,000 guineas on Saturday, 1,000 guineas on Sunday. I'm going to, as is my wont, as I have done in the past, look at breeding and particularly slicing up the two races via the dosage profiling that I've talked about several times in the past. And putting my hands up, the last time I did this was for the Brocklesby Stakes at the start of the flat season. And that was next to useless. Two horses that I flagged up, I think, came last and certainly in the second half of the field. That does not invalidate this as an approach, however. If you want to know what I'm talking about with dosage profiling, go back and look at episode 5 of the Wrap podcast that I put out in 2021, wherein I did an in-depth take on reading dosage profiling of the Scent Ledger in September 2021. Go back and have a listen to episode 5 and find out what the dosage profile, the dosage index is all about. As I always say, very, very succinctly, it is a breeding hack. It's a way of analysing a horse's breeding just by a series of numbers allocated to its name. Trust me on this. If you want to know more about it, there are some fine writers about it. There's fine essays which you can find online about the theory behind dosage profiling, dosage indexing of horses. But basically, every horse that is in training in the UK and worldwide will have a profile based on its 4 generations of breeding. And that will then indicate basically its predisposition to be more inclined to speed or more inclined to stamina. That is a very, very simple sort of précis of what dosage profiling is all about. How does this relate to the 2,000 and 1,000 guineas? I have gone and looked back at the dosage profile of all of the winners of both races for this century and looked at the numbers associated with them. 8 numbers associated with every horse that has won the 2,000 or 1,000 guineas this century. So, you know, 26 in both categories. Come up with margins and statistical means and medians and modes for those 8 numbers. And then I've run those numbers against the horses that are declared at the 5-day stage for the 2 races this coming weekend. Without boring you in too much detail about what those numbers have shown and, you know, the hardcore sort of stats behind it, I may put a photo up on my X account of what I've done. I'm old school. I write these things down. I don't sort of put them onto a computer. I write them down in pencil, and, you know, that's the way I get sort of hands-on and grubby with the analysis that I'm talking about. Everything goes down in pencil, and I may put up sort of photos of what I've actually done. If it comes out, you'll be able to look on my X account, and for that, go to Racing What, or at Racing What on Twitter X. But basically, cut into the good stuff. For the 2,000 guineas, I say looked at the dosage profile of the dosage numbers for all 26 winners this century, came up with a pretty sort of strict criteria on what the winner's breeding looks like. 2 horses that are declared for this Saturday's event hit all of the numbers in all of the 8 categories that I consider to be particularly sort of relevant. 2 horses are Causeway, currently trading around the 80-1 mark. Don't fancy that too much for obvious reasons. It's probably going to be a pacemaker. It may not even run anyway. And if it does, its last run was a winner of a handicap back in early March at Nace on soft ground, soft to heavy in places. It won. It was over 7 furlong. But, you know, what horse goes on to win a classic off the back of a 7 furlong soft ground maiden at Nace? Probably not that many. If anyone can do it, Aidan O'Brien can, who is the trainer of Causeway. But, you know, Causeway 80-1. But its breeding profile does look good. However, of more interest is his stablemate, Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico hits all of the 8 categories of the numbers that go into horses' dosage profile. And it's currently trading at around about the 8-1 mark. We don't know who is going to ride it. I hope to goodness that it's not Ryan Moore, and I don't think it will be. I think Ryan Moore will now go and ride Gestad, who was supplemented on Monday when the declarations came out on Monday. I hope Christophe Soumillon rides Puerto Rico. He has ridden him and his last 2 wins at the back of last season, one in the Criterium International at Saint-Cloud, over a mile on soft ground, which he won, Group 1 race, and before that won the Group 1 Prix Jean-Luc Lagardère at Longchamp on Arc de Triomphe day, over 7 furlongs. Again, that was on soft ground. Simeon rode the horse on both occasions, and I hope Simeon gets the ride. I hope he comes over and gets the ride on Saturday. He knows the horse. It's a very simple ride. The horse bangs out, makes all, and says, catch me if you can. And very simple tactics to execute. So 8-1, I quite like the look of Puerto Rico. Obviously, it's trained by Aidan O'Brien, classic winning trainer. So yeah, I'm hoping that he can repeat the most recent works of likes of Magna Graecia, Saxon Warrior, Churchill, etc., etc., that he's won the 2,000 guineas with in the past 10 years. Hope Sumio rides. I hope Puerto Rico can get the job done at around about 8-1 on Saturday. The 1,000 guineas, similar approach. Looked at the dosage profile of the last 26 winners of that particular race. This has thrown up several more qualifiers at pretty huge prices. Not sure whether I'm going to play all of the horses, some of the horses, none of the horses. But again, cut into the chase. The five that hit the perfect breeding profile that are declared for Sunday's race, the 1,000 guineas, are Innes Moore, Mubasima, Silenciosa, Time for Showcasing, and Venosa. Venosa's trading at 150-1, Time for Showcasing around 66-1, Silenciosa at 100-1, Mubasima at 66-1, and Innes Moore at 20-1. So, pretty sort of sizey odds. Of the rest, something like the Prettiest Star basically has a really lousy dosage profile. It does not fit the profile of the typical 1,000 guineas winner. Neither does the likes of Asleet or Abashiri. So there are some at the top of the market that purely on this criteria, on breeding alone, they don't look likely winners. So if you're with me and if you're going to go down this particular route, you may be interested in the horses that I've highlighted. Of those, I think Innes Moore and Mubasima. Innes Moore, trained by David Menuzier, Mubasima, trained by Andrew Balling, could be of the most interest. Both contested the Nell Gwynne Stakes at Newmarket here a couple of weeks back. Innes Moore came fourth, Mubasima came sixth when sent off 4-1 favourite. Both of them possibly needed the race. Mubasima, as I say, was the favourite. Fluffed the lines a little bit, coming in sixth. Possibly needed the race more than the market thought. And it's more interesting. Won on the July course a couple of times last year and made a big impression in a big sort of sales race in France last year as well. Outing in the Nell Gwynne. Should have bought her on for the 2,000 guineas. Think she can run better. Now, obviously, it's a very competitive race. It's a step up in class. It's a step up in distance. You know, you are taking a little bit of a chance with both horses, but 20-1 Innes Moore, 66-1 Mubasima. You know, and she was sent off 4-1 favourite for a acknowledged trial for the 1,000 guineas. You know, the Nell Gwynne Stakes. She's gone from favourite for that race to 66-1 for the 1,000 guineas on Sunday. Both of them have really nice sort of breeding profiles. Maybe an try bet. Let's see if they line up. Let's see what other sort of criteria come into play between now and Sunday. But those are two that, you know, I'm not having a bet at this stage, but who may be of interest when decks are out on, Thursday, Friday, when the final declarations are known. In terms of getting a deeper sort of insight into the race, or coming at it from the different angle that I was talking about earlier on, you may want to start following or paying attention to a few writers. And it's a really nice little small world that we've got in the world of horse racing. Yes, there's the big accounts, you know, the Tom Seagulls in the Racing Post, and various, you know, Hugh Taylor, great tipster, you know, on the Out the Races website. You know, those are people that you'll learn a lot from. But there's also a little sort of smaller, more underground coterie of people with real sort of insight into the game that you should be following. And you get really good information and stats and insights from them. I'm talking about people like Ben Aitken of Narrowing the Field fame, Matt Bisogno, he writes with real insight into the game. So give Matt a follow. And there's a guy called Nick Pullen as well, who is runs a tipping service called Against the Crowd. A tipping service, he would say it isn't, but it is a tipping service. He concentrates mostly on handicaps, but he does give some real good insight into bets and races. And he has just sent out a couple of really good emails, of which I've received both, looking at sort of criteria for winners of the 2,000 and 1,000 guineas over the last sort of 20, 30 years. You know, and the stats, he basically headlines them, the stats that dig out the 2,000 guineas winner, stats that dig out the 1,000 guineas winner. And he goes through a list of sort of criteria that you need to look at to narrow down the field a little bit. And again, it gives you this left field view or new sort of insights, perhaps, into punting. As a for example, and props to Nick Pullen here. This is something that I'm going to read of his. He's done the groundwork. So this is not me. This is Nick Pullen of Against the Crowd fame. And he just talks about the 2,000 guineas. Here we go. All of the last 26 winners had won at least one race. All were progeny of a sire that had won a Group 1 race when racing. All had appeared at 7 furlongs or 8 furlongs last time out. 25 had raced at least twice. 25 had a winning strike rate of 50%. 25 had scored a career best of at least 110 on the racing post rating scale. 25 had scored career best racing post ratings in one of the last two races. 24 were progeny of a sire with a stamina index figure of 8.8 plus. 24 had won at 7 furlongs or 8 furlongs. 22 had been foaled before April. I can go on, I'm probably boring you now, but this is really good quality stuff, and you want to be getting that kind of insight coming into your mailbox and giving you some stats to measure your criteria against and to give you a bit of a sort of deeper understanding and deeper insight into the race. So, like I say, props to Nick Pullen. He is a guy worth following, getting onto his mailing list. That's it. Thanks a lot, as I always say, for showing up for this particular podcast. Thanks a lot to all of my new followers that have been interacting with me on X. That's me over and out for now. Be lucky.